Dr. Vic Mancha Ramani. I'll get that right. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. Thanks for having me in the studio today.
Yeah, and by the way, wearing a Sig Sauer Academy hat. You heard about that big contract, right?
Yep, I did.
So you're running for the Senate.
Company.
Yeah, $4.5 billion contract with the U.S. Army. You're running for the U.S. Senate, and you're jumping in now. Some would say it's a little bit late, but maybe not. Why are you running?
Look, Jack, I never thought I'd be a politician. Look, I'm a businessman. I'm an analyst. I think about the world. I think about policies. I think about what's happening. And honestly, at some point, you just say, look, what's going on is wrong, and we need to fix it. And I have some strong views. I think I have some background that might be additive and helpful. And so, you know, jumping in. As for the timing, you know, I don't think there was a sense of being behind. I think it's a pretty open race. And I think part of the reason for that was Governor Sununu's decision to hold off until November to decide not to be in. And so, you know, am I behind? I'll leave that for the voters to decide.
Now, there are some pretty not maybe, you know, Maggie Hassan is pretty well known as the incumbent Democrat senator, former governor. You know, she's pretty well known. But Chuck Morris, Senate president, may or may not be well known outside of Concord. Kevin Smith may or may, you know, in political circles. You know, I think some of these people aren't as not they're not as well known out there to average voters as they think. But retired General Don Boldick. So the field has some names in there, but some would say it's pretty open. Corey Lewandowski, former campaign advisor to President Trump, was on the other day. He said the field is still forming. So I guess there may be others to jump in, too. So this is kind of going to an open field.
Yeah, you know, Jack, I really think the primary process is actually very therapeutic. If you think about the place, think about the world of voting as a marketplace of ideas. Look, the more ideas we have out there, the better off we're going to be, not only as a Republican Party, but for our state.
Now, you live in Lincoln, New Hampshire now. You are living down in the Boston area. You have, a good personal story. By the way, Dr. Vic was a listener and is a listener of the show, and some folks were telling me about him. He teaches down at Harvard University in the engineering area. He's taught at other Ivy League colleges, very well-educated, to say the very, very least. But you had a personal story about why you moved to New Hampshire, and I think it's one of the reasons people who I've talked to who know you well say that you made a decision to run for the U.S. Senate. It has to do with education, parental rights, and concerns. Why'd you move to New Hampshire? And does this have anything to do with your running for office?
Sure. No, first of all, moving to New Hampshire had nothing to do with running for office. Like I said, I didn't think I'd ever run for office. I've got this last name, perhaps, that doesn't lend itself to bumper stickers or road signs. I guess if you had a couple bumper stickers, you could put them next to each other, Jack. You could maybe pull it together. No, look, I moved to New Hampshire for one reason. We love this state. The state has been fabulous. We've owned property here for a while. Our weekends were heavenly. The communities we were part of, the approach to individual freedom and rights and respect for parents, et cetera, that we'd seen with our neighbors and friends up here in New Hampshire was perfect. And at the same time, the state I came from, we were really struggling, my wife and I, with our daughter's education.
You could say Massachusetts.
Yeah, perfect, Massachusetts.
You had the sense to move.
Yep, I did. You know, the way Governor Sununu put it, I think, is spot on. You know, some of New Hampshire residents were lucky enough to be born here. I, unfortunately, had to take some time to figure out and develop the intelligence to come here. So I'll hopefully leave myself in that latter category, and my children and others will be lucky enough to be full-time residents here. But look, we were having a battle with the schools. This was well before COVID, where they were telling us they knew better for our daughter. In fact, it's a part of the motivation for even the some of the writings I've done where I say keep experts on tap, not on top. I know best for my daughter. That's just a fact. Most parents know their children better than teachers ever will. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of infuriating, if not outrageous, that they have the gall to tell parents that they don't know what they're doing. And so, you know, we contrasted that with what we felt was happening up here in New Hampshire and some of the other support services they've had for my daughter, you know, the New England Disabled Sports Program we've talked about at Loon Mountain and others. And we just said this makes too much sense not to do. And so we moved up here in 2020 full time.
What are the key issues? What are people looking at? Now, I also think it's interesting. I come back to parental rights or parents in schools because we've had a lot of debate here in New Hampshire over some things. And a lot of criticism of the current Commissioner of Education, Frank Edelblue, who, you know, it's interesting. I think he's been articulate, sharp, but people, in the Democrat side of the aisle don't like him. They think he's anti-public school, it's interesting. It's how parents have been. This thing has gotten to be a pretty hot button issue nationally. Look at the Virginia governor's race with Youngkins versus McAuliffe. And well, I'm going to come back to that. But when you look at Senator Maggie Hassan, the incumbent, I noticed, and the president of the United States was here Tuesday, that some of the Democrats running for re-election are swimming away from the Biden White House, swimming away on energy, saying we have to, get more domestic energy here, including oil and gas, swimming away from the White House on Title 42 at the border. You have an interesting story on naturalization and immigration here with your father. You tell me about before the show where he did it right. But I want to come back to that. But swimming away from the president on the border, talking, about things like more border security agents, more physical infrastructure at the border, sort of departing the Biden White House. Is that a sign of anything with the midterms coming?
Sure. Well, look, Jack, I think it's no surprise to any of your listeners or frankly anyone that the president is not popular, that his policies are not working, and that Americans are worse off because of them. Granted, staters are paying more at the pump, in the grocery store, etc. So we all know that. And, I got to imagine that Maggie Hassan also knows that. And so, surprise, surprise, she's running away from those policies and trying to distance herself. But look, your first question was, what are the key issues? I think for sure, by far, perhaps the single most important issue is inflation. And this is a mess of our own making, right? And, I love how you constantly talk about hypocrisy on the show, because I think when you think about inflation as a tax on sort of the working class, at lower and middle class families, the hardworking families of the Granite State, you have to realize the hypocrisy. The Democrats are trying to say, hey, we're all about creating more equality. And what they're doing is producing more inequality.
Right. So, a wealthier person can handle to pay more for chicken and gas, but someone who's on a fixed income can't.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, we know what's causing it. Right? It's energy policy. We went from exporting energy to our friends and allies to importing from our enemies. I mean, what? How does that make sense? Like, I just don't get it. Yeah. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's outrageous. It's offensive to the American people.
And people in Washington on the Democrat side, they won't even say that the federal spending, federal borrowing, printing of money, devaluing the dollar, federal stimulus of the last few years had a lot to do with this inflation. They think it has all to do, they still talk about supply chain wrinkles and Vladimir Putin and the war in Ukraine. We had rising prices before Putin invaded Ukraine.
That's right. I mean, look, I forget what it was. I don't know national averages or even state averages, but I know I was paying three something a gallon before Putin invaded.
Yeah, people were talking about home energy filling up their houses this winter. That was well before the Beijing Olympics when Putin went over there. And then a week or two later, he started the invasion.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. No, look, I mean, this is a mess of our own making. We need to remember that. This is inflation that we didn't have to have. We printed too much money. By the way, Biden's stimulus last March, that was a major contributor. The Federal Reserve has written that up as a major contributor.
And if Bernie Sanders could, he'd still spend a few trillion more. Hey, before we let you go, website and can you raise enough money, financial fundraising? It's the worst part of it. Such hypocrisy there. People say we need to take big money and dark money out of politics, and that's all that fuels it is money and reelection and how much money you can raise. Chuck Moore said on this show a few weeks ago in the last quarter, he raised $750,000. Kevin Smith, I think, $410,000. Don Bolt, like a lesser number. Some people, Maggie Hassan, $4.3 million in the last quarter, $7.5 million on hand. Can you compete financially in this primary?
Jack, we're going to find out. We're going to find out very quickly here. We're going to try. We're going to get out there. We're going to tell the story, share my ideas. I hope my ideas resonate. I hope the values I'm trying to propose and present are appealing enough that voters, Granite Staters and others find value in them and want to promote them and will contribute. So you asked for the website. It's Vikram, V-I-K-R-A-M, the number 4. And then NH, Vikram4NH.com.
All right, Dr. Vic, I've enjoyed you on the show. Thank you, and we'll get you back in soon. Good morning, New Hampshire. Thanks for being in our studios.
Great. Thanks, Jack.